Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County.
This is episode 28, Taxation Trifecta, Part 1.
And welcome back to Color Country Politics. You guys, I am so, so excited today. This is like nerd heaven for me. I'm Jenny Hendricks here with
Jesse Harris.
And we have the trifecta of county taxation gurus on our podcast today. So everybody should have received this notice. If you're listening, you can't see it. So what I'm holding up is the notice of property valuation and tax changes. These notices go out in July, and we are going to become so educated today. We've got Dan Jessen, who is the county auditor. We have Cindy Bullock,
hi,
who is the county assessor. And we have Nicole Rosenberg, who is the county treasurer. And I am just going to kind of turn the time over to you guys and let you start from the top. We're going to kind of take this chronologically as far as what is the process like in your world. So Cindy, we probably want to start with you and the assessor's office.
Okay, I'm going to refer to this since you've probably all received it and wondering what information is on here. So under the property type, generally, it will say primary improved property if it's your home, and I'm assuming for most people it's a home. If it's a commercial property, it'll say commercial improved, just means there's a building on it. So it will show you the market value for this year, 2019, and the market value for last year, so you can see a change if there is so. And it will show market value and taxable value. The big difference, if there's a difference between market value and taxable value, generally it's a primary residential exemption. In Utah, that is a 45% exemption on a primary residence. So it has to be someone's primary residence. If you have a rental, that is applied on a rental as long as it's someone's primary residence. So that's the big difference. Make sure if this is your home that those differences, that there is a difference, that's not the same. If it's the same number, you are not getting that primary residential exemption and you may be eligible for it, so call. The other thing is the difference between the 2 years. Down on the bottom right-hand side, you'll see where it says last property review. That was the last time someone from my office actually did a physical inspection of that property. Now, we don't always get in. Sometimes it's from the street, but it's the last time that somebody actually looked at that. And by statute, we have to do that every 5 years.
So every property will be looked at by someone from the assessor's office at least once every 5 years.
Yes.
So basically 20% of the county.
Yep, every year. Mm-hmm. So that's the last property review date. But also by statute, we have to be at market value. So as you know, Jenny, and even you, Jesse, but things are going up in Iron County. So mm-hmm. we have to be at market. So the difference might be like a statistical change. We haven't necessarily looked at your home to know that, you know, you did a remodel, but we do know that the market is going up, so we've reacted to that market change, and those differences will be going up. So,
can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
I don't know if I'm interrupting.
Don't interrupt.
Bring this up later. But one of the things that I get asked a lot is, how does the assessor know how much I paid? Well, Utah is a non-disclosure state, which means that the sales price is not public record. When purchases are recorded, it's recorded as $10 and other good and valuable consideration. That's not the case in surrounding states. A lot of surrounding states, that information is public, it's recorded. So how do you determine market value if it's not a public record of what someone paid for their property?
So there are basically three ways. We subscribe to the MLS. All the appraisers in my office are licensed through the state, just like, you know, fee appraisers in the field. So we look at the MLS. We also send, or the state sends, you'll get a little survey that comes from the state of Utah that says, do not throw this away. But it will ask what you paid for it. You don't have to turn that in. It is a non-disclosure state. If you do, that comes in to our statistics, and then we use basically a cost approach to try to come up. It makes it so we are accurate, not as accurate as if we knew exactly what you paid. So we don't know, and we can't, what they call sales chase. So we can't say, Jenny, we know you paid $200 for this house, and that's what we're going to have it on for. But we know in an area for a 2,000 square foot home, they're selling at about $235,000 or whatever it is. So we have to be statistically within 5% of market, but we don't know specifically what this house paid for and that's what it's valued at.
So in a lot of cases, it's a good educated guess.
Yeah, as all appraisers are. I mean, every appraisal, you'll have five appraisals and they'll all come up with a slightly different value, but should be pretty close given the same information.
And you mentioned it's mandated you're within. Who is mandating that? So I think that would
The State Tax Commission kind of is the overseeing body, but we react to legislation. So the legislation says we have to be within 5% plus or minus the tax code 59-2 whatever. but the State Tax Commission looks over our shoulders more or less, and if we didn't, like if I wanted to be really nice and lower everyone's values, I could do that. I would be out of office, but I could do that. But the state would then come in and what they would call do a factor order. The state would come in and say, oh no, you don't, Cindy, we're going to bring it back up to what it should be. So there's oversight from the State Tax Commission.
Interesting. You know, I think sometimes people don't realize that so much of what we do is mandated by law. Mm-hmm. It's not our choice or something we're doing even for county reasons.
Okay.
It's mandated by the state to us.
Okay.
How I got to say something about that too. A lot of times, I don't know if it happens to you guys, but people, they find out what I do for a job and they're like, oh, you must be some crazy tax and spend liberal because you're part of the tax process. How can you live with yourself? These processes have to be done. Somebody has to do the assessing by law. Somebody has to bill the taxes. Somebody has to calculate the tax rates. Would you rather have somebody that is just like everybody else, or would you rather have, you know what I'm saying? So I tell people, just because this is what I do, don't assume any sort of politics. We go about our job the way we have to by law. There's almost no wiggle room in how we do our job. It just has to be done, and it has to be done by the book.
I love it. That's really interesting. That is really interesting. So I didn't mean to get you off track, but
that's good.
For that information.
So that's basically how we come up with market value. And like you said, we do 20% of the county every year. So we will send a notice. We have to let taxpayers know. So you'll get a letter that says, hey, we're going to be doing your subdivision sometime this summer, and send us a survey. Again, you don't have to respond to that, but it does help us. It just gives us data. Mm-hmm. You know, have you remodeled? If you bought it within the last few years, have you refinanced? Have you had a fee appraisal done? How many bedrooms? How many bathrooms? And we just use that to make sure that our information is correct. Mm-hmm. And then we put a value on it. And I don't know if we want to go through with then the tax, or if you want to talk about if you disagree with that value at this point, or go through how we come up with the rates.
Let's just stick with you for a minute and talk about what happens if you disagree with that value. So I get my notice of property valuation and tax changes, and I look at my 2019 market value and I go, oh, that is way off. There's no way my property is worth that much. Unless it's lower than I think it's worth, then I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Right.
Right. And it's great that you said that when you were like, oh, my property's not worth that much. Because a lot of times you have to say, oh, I don't like that tax amount, but could I sell my house for that amount? That's the important question.
Yeah.
And it is. So if you disagree with that value, like Nicole said, you can't protest the amount of taxes. And Dan will talk a little bit about if you disagree with some portions of that tax, how you can let people know that. But and you can't necessarily say, hey, it went up 20%. You can't protest the change in value. You have to look at that number. So For example, I brought mine, no big secret. I mean, you can look these up on anyone. So my house for 2019 is valued at $276,000. So when I get that, or when anyone gets that, you have to look at it and say, okay, realistically, if I put my house on the market, could I get $276,000 for that value? The other thing we need to probably say is we do it as of January 1st. That's our lien date. So on an increasing market, it's great because you might look at it and go, oh, well, yeah, but in January, could you have gotten $276,000 for your house? It's a problem on a declining market, right, where then people are looking at it in August and saying, oh, I don't think I could get that. But could you have gotten that January 1st?
Right. Yeah, in 08, 09, 10, that was mm-hmm. a real problem. Right, yeah.
And Dan can talk a little bit more of the process, how you appeal for Board of Equalization, but the information that you would need, don't go get a fee appraisal. No offense, they do a great job,
yeah,
but don't go to the expense of having a fee appraiser. Now, if you've got one because you just refinanced, that's great evidence. Mm-hmm. Bring that in. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, we have a great realtor community, and they will help you get comps. That's the best way. Or if you know, hey, my neighbor just sold his house, you know, it's basically the same as mine, and he only got $250 for it, but yet mine's on $275.
Right.
That's good information. But something concrete that shows comps, not just you raised it.
So somebody should come in, they could talk to their realtor, mm-hmm, and get comps, and, mm-hmm, and you will accept that,
yep,
as a sort of additional information.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Excellent.
Or you can do CMAs.
Uh-huh.
But I don't even remember what that stands for.
A current market analysis.
Thank
or
you.
A comparative market
comparative
analysis.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, we have great realtors in,
yeah,
the community who will help do that.
Okay.
Or if there's something that's unique about your property that sets, mm-hmm, you apart from all the other properties,
yes,
in your neighborhood, that would have maybe affect that value.
Right.
You come in and, mm-hmm, say, well, you thought my basement was finished, but it's really not.
Right.
Or something like that.
Yeah. I've got a, if you're on the mountain, I've got, bad access. Do you realize I can only get in there 3 months out of the year?
Okay.
Or, I've got a, we should know this, but these are things that sometimes we do miss. I've got an overhead power line, so I could never, even though I've got this big lot, I can never build on the back end because,
sure,
of the overline overhead,
okay,
power. That's, make sure that we've addressed that.
Okay.
Or, anything that, like Dan said, makes your home unique.
Okay. Now, I know that you did want to talk briefly about abatements. What is an abatement?
I'm going to defer to Dan, because his office does abatements.
Okay.
So my office is one of the hardest to understand what it does, and I won't go into everything that my office does, but we do abatements. But first, on the topic of the Board of Equalization, that's the board to which you appeal.
Okay.
One of the important things, and Nicole deals with this all the time, is that people wait until they get their tax bill in the mail to then call the county and say, this isn't fair. The reason why we send out this valuation notice, when we do, the one that you've just received that says this is not a bill, it's very important, because that's what says, this is what your property has been valued at. That is the time to appeal. If you wait until the process is played out to the point where we have handed, the assessor hands the tax roll over to my office, we balance it and handle Board of Equalization. Once we get done with all of that, we calculate the tax rates, we send out valuation notices, we deal with the appeals. Then when that all gets resolved, we turn it over to the treasurer's office, who then sends out the bills.
And once it's to the treasurer's office,
it's done.
It's locked
for
the year. Your
window is closed. Okay, so
if you want to appeal, the time to appeal is when I have sent out this valuation notice. And as Cindy said, you don't appeal the taxes. Now, there is a way your voice can be heard on that, but what you do is you appeal the market value or the market and taxable value, right?
So if I determine, if I have a value that I think is too high,
yeah,
and I go before, I send in a protest,
yes,
I fill out the forms, and I go before the Board of Equalization, who,
yes,
is who? Who's the Board of Equalization?
So the Board of Equalization, the auditor is the clerk of the board. The Board of Equalization is actually the county commission.
Okay.
But the auditor is the clerk of the board. What we do is we hire an independent hearing officer. We actually hire a licensed appraiser from the private sector to come in, and they usually specialize. We get people that have been doing this for a long time, and this is the point that I think is really fair, and I love the process, because the assessor has gone out and they've done their best, but they've established a value. And on the other hand, you have the property owner that says, and I think this is really interesting to point out, the assessor can never win. Some people, they get it and they say, oh, it's too low, or it's too high. People actually sometimes are frustrated that their value is too low. If they're in a position where they're ready to sell their investment,
right,
and the market value comes in too low, they're thinking, the appraiser doesn't know what she's talking about.
Just call a realtor. Don't call the assessor.
Yes.
Call a realtor.
And, or else, if you're in a buy it and hold situation, and now you're just paying taxes, you want that value to be low. So unfortunately, she's a lot of times put in that position. But you fill out a packet, you come to my office, you can call us and we'll email you one, and we'll set up an appointment. And it says right on there that the applications must be received by September 16th.
Okay.
And then we establish a time. A lot of times, some of these things are resolved before they ever go to the board. Sometimes if a property owner says, hey, look at this, Cindy will look at it herself, or have the appraiser, one of her assessors who actually did it, say, oh, we didn't realize that. Sometimes they can come to an agreement before it ever goes to the board. Mm-hmm. If it does go to the board, it's very casual. You come and you sit down, you make your case, you bring the information, the evidence that Cindy's talked about, and our hearing officers are very fair. They'll look at it and they'll say, you know what, I think you have a case, or I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think you have a case in light of this information. They will then make a recommendation on every single appeal, and then we'll take that to the county commission, who will make a final decision.
Okay.
And it's important also to know that at that point, it still can be appealed to the state tax commission if you still feel that the county has not treated you very fairly.
Which I know has happened a few times.
Oh, a number of times. You can go, there's actually four levels. You can appeal to the local Board of Equalization. Then there is an initial hearing at the state tax commission. They generally come down here and have that in Iron County. You can have a formal appeal, which is in Salt Lake. You're under oath.
Wow.
And then you can appeal to the district court.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you can do four, and I guess you can appeal to the Supreme Court, probably to state Supreme Court if you wanted
to
go
be
that
really
far.
Serious
but
about
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so assume that I feel like my value, my assessment was too high. Mm-hmm. I go through the process and say there's something unique about my property, and I successfully say, no, the market value should be less. So am I paying less in taxes?
Yeah.
Okay.
So your value through the board, when we get done, we will change the value before we hand it over to the the treasurer, who then bills it out.
Okay.
And that's where the tax rates actually come into play. One of the biggest, least understood things are tax rates.
Yeah.
Even in the county, people start thinking tax rates, and it seems like this a bunch of voodoo.
Yeah.
it's not, but the hardest thing to understand is that tax rates float. It's mm-hmm. not a set rate that then gets forced up or drops due to somebody making that happen. The tax rate every year will change, even if none of the taxing entities do a tax increase. And the reason mm-hmm. is because what drives the process is the actual dollars that the entities get.
Mm-hmm. When you say entities, what entities?
And if you look right on here, you'll see we have school district.
Mm-hmm.
And my bill, I live in the unincorporated county, so I pay municipal services, which is a county tax for out in the unincorporated county.
And if you live in a municipality, like mine says Parowan and yours probably says Cedar.
Uh-huh. I'm going to be Paragona.
And then you're going to have water conservancy district. Some people will have that. A county library, a county public health, charter, basic school, and then there's some assessing and collecting. There can be all these different entities that have the ability to levy a tax.
Who gives them the ability to levy a tax?
It's constitutional from the state.
Okay.
So the state gives, they have political subdivisions mm-hmm. that are granted the ability to levy a tax. Not everybody can levy a tax, but there are certain entities. Generally speaking, it's special tax districts. Those are the ones that can get, you can have mosquito abatement, you can have fire district, you can have a water conservancy district as we do in our county. Mm-hmm. You can have a few of these special taxing districts, and then your cities, your school districts, and your counties. Those are the main taxing right. entities.
How is it determined how much they can tax?
So it's based on history. So let's say, for example, let's use Cedar City as an example. Say they are getting a current property tax revenue. And by the way, property tax just funds local government. The state doesn't get any property tax. The federal government doesn't get any property tax. We also don't get any income tax. So they get their taxes one way, we get our taxes another way. And some of the taxes are split up, like sales tax goes to different places. But your property taxes primarily go to local government, to your schools, your cities and counties and tax districts. Let's say historically Cedar City has gotten $1 million. I want to use a nice round number.
And that's their budget.
And that is their property tax budgeted revenue.
Okay.
Now, next year, they're going to get $1 million. We can talk about new growth, which is a separate thing. It gets really complex. But just to keep it simple, they're going to get $1 million unless they go through truth in taxation and increase their revenue. They don't even care what the rate is. They care about the revenue that they get. Mm-hmm. Let's say that they decide we need to have some more fire trucks. We've got to have 1.2 million. So they're going to increase their revenue by 20%. Mm-hmm. Now, the State Tax Commission and myself, we go through and we take all of the valuation that Cindy has, everything within Cedar City, because that's all Cedar City is able to tax. And they say, what does Cedar City's rate have to be to get $1.2 million based on this revenue? So you have two things that are going to affect that rate. You're going to have the valuation by Cindy mm-hmm. combined, everybody's valuation combined, and then you have the amount of money that they need, and the tax rate is computed as a result of that.
Okay.
So it floats in an environment where you have properties that are going up in value, mm-hmm. inflation, which is what we're in right now, mm-hmm. then the tax rate will drop every year and people will pay the same property tax bill.
Are there any other states that do this? Because it seems like this confuses a lot of people.
Yes, every state is a little bit different. Most states do it similar to this. One of the things that drives our tax policy now was, it used to be that tax rates would happen kind of in a gray environment when nobody really knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. Hence the name of our law, Truth in Taxation. One of the challenges that cities and taxing entities have is they have no way to increase, just to stay good with inflation, their revenue. But just because your home went up in value doesn't mean they're going to get any more dollars. And as we know, the price, the buying purchasing power of a dollar goes down every year. Mm-hmm. The city still has to pay its power bill, it has to pay its employees, it has to pay all these things that go up. So in order to have enough money to keep going, they have to go through a truth in taxation occasionally to even have the same amount of buying power.
Do
right?
you want to jump into the truth in taxation that is on
that's base? That's a great thing, because that's a great time to talk about this. Because this is the time after she gets done with the rates, with the values, and hands them to me, that I then approach the cities and the school districts and say, okay, how much revenue do you need? I will tell them what's called the auditor's certified rate. In other words, I will give them the rate that gives them the same amount of revenue they got the previous year. And I will tell them what that rate is and how much revenue they get, plus any new growth, meaning if people built new houses and stuff, then they'll get a little bit of more money for that. Mm-hmm. But as far as this is how much money you're gonna get if you do nothing. All you do, if you accept this, then you're gonna get this amount of money. And so they can either vote, and they'll do this in their board meetings, if it's a school board or if it's a city council for mm-hmm. a city, they will meet and they will decide, yeah, we're gonna accept that rate, or no, we need more revenue. So then they will come back to me and say, no, we need this amount of new revenue.
Or even if they're gonna lower it, they still have to go through truth in taxation.
No, they can lower it without going through. Okay. They only have to go through truth in taxation if they increase it.
Okay.
I don't know if it's ever happened in the history of a taxing entity to lower it, but I'm sure it has, and it definitely could. I know that it's been talked about many times, even at the county level, about lowering it if you're getting too much revenue, right? Mm-hmm. So the second they say we need more revenue, it triggers truth in taxation. which is another thing that's very important on this form.
Yes.
Don't ignore it.
Everybody, I hope you've opened up your envelope that came from Dan Justin. Everybody, you have to open up your envelope and see what is in it. You have to
envelope,
do it now.
Please.
All of this information is there. And one of those is there is a public truth and tax meeting, and it gives you the time, date, and place right there. So what entity is doing a truth and taxation, and what are they asking for?
So this year, we only have one entity that's doing a truth, going through truth and taxation, and that is the Iron County School District. The school district is a very complex rate, and I won't go into all of the detail because the form doesn't, and it summarizes it. But they are actually increasing their rate from the proposed rate, if they didn't do anything, would be 0.004268. That's the auditor's certified rate. In my case, and I think it's interesting that it's such a whole number, with my property, I would have paid the school district $947.60 on my tax bill this fall. Instead, they're doing a 5.5% increase to their rate, not the total rate, but just the school district's rate, which is a change in tax of $52.40 for my property, bringing that tax up to $1,000 even to the penny.
Oh, wow. That
isn't that crazy? You know, if I saw that, I would think there was some conspiracy.
But I bet that doesn't happen often.
No, it doesn't happen that often. So the school district is going through a truth in taxation, and it says right there, they'll be meeting August 6th at 6 p.m. at their address at Royal Hunt Drive, which is where the district offices are.
Mm-hmm.
This is important because if you want to have a say in that, you can show up to that meeting. I recommend that you do so in a very kind and courteous way, but you can make your pitch to the school district that says, this is why I think that this is a good idea or a bad idea. Now, I've seen cities and school districts and counties actually change their mind and lower the rate. This happened last year with Cedar Highlands.
Mm-hmm.
There was an initial tax rate that I gave them. They decided to do truth in taxation and bump it up. And they went to their meeting, and the townspeople successfully negotiated with the city council and negotiated that rate down. That became the final rate that they were billed on.
Okay. So the opportunity, and again, we're talking about these windows of opportunity. So you've got a window of opportunity to protest your value.
Yes, and that is every year between when you get the bill, generally the last week of July. Uh-huh.
The value notice.
This is not a bill.
This is not a bill. The end of July until September 15th, unless the 15th is on a
weekend,
so it's the 16th. Yeah. But generally, it's that 45 days between August 1st and September 15th.
Okay. And then you have a window to go to whatever taxing entity is that particular year, going through a truth in taxation, and not everyone does every year. It's just if they want that rate increase. So if you wait until October and you call Nicole's office and say, I want to protest my value and I also want to protest the increase in taxes, that window has closed. So there are specific times that you can do this. So again, the assessed value you have until September 15th, and the rate that the school district, Iron County School District, is asking for that increase, your deadline, your window is August 6th at 6 p.m. at the school district building on Royal Hunt Drive.
And just so you, in case you think that the legislature never does anything good or smart or, you know, anything good for the people, they actually passed a new law this last year that says that you can have no two truth and taxation meetings on the same night.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
So they make us have the entities stagger those so
nice.
That if I have multiple entities taking my taxes up, I can go to each meeting and I can protest and I can make myself heard.
Okay.
Right.
I'm going to pause right here because we've been going for about the length of a podcast. And there's just so much information. We are going to break this into two episodes. So we're going to end our episode number one right now, right in the middle of Dan's presentation. But we're going to give him the floor when we come back for our second episode. So please come back for our second episode. This has been episode one of the Trifecta Color Country Politics, and we'll see you soon.
You've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.